until we finished Mar Shemaim, right? Yar Shemaim, that. Right? Okay, so actually we're up to Dalet, but I'm going to skip Dalet and go to Hay.
Which pair?
Yeah, oh, it's a pair of Okay. So, let's see. Okay. So, Hay is Yossi ben Yochanan, Yishru of Yerushalayim, Omer. Yehi Veisacha Pasuach Levracha, Vihu Aniyim Bnei Veisacha, Vialtar Besicha Imo Yisha. Okay. So he's got three things there, right? Okay. So what's the first? Yehi Veisacha Pasuach Levracha. The bias should be open. Well, it turns out open to all four sides, but I guess the Ravacha means like, you know, wide open, something like that. Okay. Okay, but if you take a look at Rashi, okay, so he says Pasuach Ravacha, Pasuach La'arba Ruchos, Likanes Ovrei Drachim. Okay, so the bias should be open on all four sides for the Ovrei Drachim. For people to come in? Okay. V'chein amar b'yoav v'yikaver b'veso b'midbar. Okay. So it says that he was buried in his house in the midbar. Okay, so Yoav did not live in the midbar. I mean, he was a very prominent individual. He was the captain of the army. So he certainly didn't live in the midbar. So Rashi says, "V'chi beso b'midbar haya ela shahaya beso k'midbar." His house was like a midbar, le'arba ruchos. Okay. Okay. So I took a look in the Rashi has a little different there. Basically, the same thing, but he's a little more. I would say, you know, doesn't say a lot, but a little. You know, a little more stark, let's say. Okay, he says like this. He says, "Babeso b'midbar." Rashi says, "Shahayisab beso hefker k'midbar." His bias was hefker, like the midbar, li'aniyim. Okay. The bias was hefker li'aniyim. As anybody could just walk right in. Okay. So, what is the idea there? What's the idea they're trying to convey? That the bias was hefker, that an ani could just walk right in. Like, no real bias there. If a house or the owner sort of relinquishes bylaws, anybody could walk right in. That's like nobody owns the house. So what is the lima that they're trying to teach you? Right, it's like a lima in stock.
Probably a certain recognition that he's not that he doesn't like own. Like everyone believes like their possessions are theirs, and probably a certain sense of recognizing that what's not his.
Right.
Like this is just I don't know. Shem's like giving it to him to use, but it doesn't mean he has really real bias over it, like you said.
Right.
It's like
not really his.
It's really everyone's.
It really belongs to everybody. That's right. But there's a lima with regard to tzedakah. Right, meaning that the idea of tzedakah really is that you're giving the person certain things he needs, a certain need. I mean, the person needs shelter, you're giving him shelter. But the limit is that it should be given in a way that the person doesn't feel that it's a handout, that he feels as if it's his. So he receives his needs without any of the ego loss. There's no ego loss. He's teaching you that's the real way. Tzedakah on the highest level is where the person that is the recipient does not feel any kind of diminishment in his ego. Okay? So that means that really the way he conducted his house, I mean, you know, when you read it, it sounds like a little fantastic, but, you know, like a fantasy. But the thing is that's what it means. It means to say that when a person walked in there, they did not feel like they were in somebody else's house. Yeah. And that's the real tzedakah. The recipient shouldn't feel like you really gave him anything. Like it's like it was his. Didn't feel like he got any kind of handout from the other guy. I mean that's like almost something that's even hard to believe. I mean, like if you just translate it into modern day terms, like it would be like, you know, let's say General Petraeus or the formal General Petraeus, right? Like as if somebody would, you know, his house was such that a guy could just come in, a guy who needed a place to sit down, just walk into the guy's house and sit down in his chair, and that's it. Like, don't have to call the guy, ask him, just walk right in. That would be a comparable thing. I can imagine that there's nobody in this society like that. Right? Because this guy was really the captain of the army. But you say that was his level of tzedakah. Okay, but that's really the limit. The limit is that when a person gives tzedakah, you should give it in a way that the recipient does not feel that you gave him anything. Okay, that's that. Right? Okay. So then you have v'yiyu aniyim b'nei v'secha. Okay. Second limit is that the niyam should be b'nei b'secha. Okay. So what does that mean? What does it mean b'nei b'secha? So Rashi says what it means is it means kolomar al tarbe avadim ushfachos l'shar secha. You shouldn't have servants. You shouldn't have avadim and shvachos to serve you, but you should have a niyam in their place. Okay? And then the aniyim should serve you. And Rashi says, usakabal aleihem schar. So that you'll get schar. Because why should you hire a paid regular guy? Right? You get an ani to do it. So you'll pay the ani and you'll get the schar of tzedakah. So you'll have a person working for you, and you'll have the schar of mitzvah. Okay, so why get a guy to work for you that there's no schar mitzvah? Okay, have this guy, he'll do the job, and you'll get a mitzvah. Okay. So, I mean, right, it sounds very good. Sounds very good, you know. Kill two birds with one stone. Why not? Right, it's like if you take a look at the Rabbeinu Yonah, he really he has it even more stark. Okay, he says like this. He says b'makom shekone avanim umafarnason. He says yishtamish be'aniyim v'yafarnasosam. Hire aniyim, and you'll support them. V'lo yitzarich lahotzi mos b'kniya. You'll save money. You don't have to hire an expensive. You don't have to buy an expensive eved or shifcha. Okay, just have a niyam working for you. They could do the job, and you'll save money. And he says that shenimtza marviyach v'osa mitzvah. You'll end up financially better, and you do a mitzvah too. Okay. So I mean, it's very nice, but let's put it this way. I mean, the question is, I mean, you need somebody to do a job. Right? Now the question is, could the Ani do the job? I mean, if the Ani could do the job exactly like the other guy, I mean, what's the chiddush? Why wouldn't you get an Ani? I mean, the guy needs a job. He's exactly just as good as the guy that you can get from the butler service. Okay. So then, what's, I'm saying, what's the question? I mean, of course, why wouldn't you hire an Ani? Balamai, you'll tell me, well, you don't really want the Ani because he's not going to be able to fulfill the job. you're going to have a guy who can't really, he doesn't know anything about doing these things, right? So then you're not getting the job done. So, I mean, what is the big, you know, it's not exactly, you know, get a guy that can do the job and then give the onyx stock. I mean, you can't, you function like this, right? It would be like, I mean, why don't they tell you, forget about your house. What about at work? Guy's a whatever. He's a physician, and he's a secretary. So don't hire a secretary. Hire an ani, and let the ani do the job. And this way, you know, you'll probably get away paying him less, and you'll have a mitzvah. And he's very nice, but you know, you're not going to be in business for too many days after that. I mean, it's, you know, you have to, something has to be done. You have to, you need a job done right. You got to get the guy who's the expert at that job. Right? So, I mean, what kind of advice is this? Could the guy do the job or not? If he can do it, so there's nothing to do with the fact he's an ani. He's fully qualified. Right? You'll make more money, right? You'll end up better off. Like, yeah, you get what you pay for. Yeah. Right?
It just seems like, is that like part of like the Limud and Pirkei Avos? Is the way you can make
money?
Yeah,
how to... how to, you know, maneuver with these things, you know?
Do chesed and profit.
Yes, yes, exactly. That's right. Like the non-profit organizations. This is, you know, tax exempt. You're helping the guy. It's all good. It's good all around. You know, you rub my back, I rub yours. I mean,
everybody wins.
Everybody wins. That's right.
Are you saying because you'll save money? That's why.
Well, Vanyana seems to say, yeah, financially it makes sense. You won't have to pay such a high price to get a butler, and you're helping the guy.
You don't have to get tzedakah because that is your
tzedakah. That's right. You don't have to get tzedakah. This is your tzedakah.
Amazing.
Right? So, I mean, so if the guy can do the exact same job, there's no limit. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. Well, why wouldn't you get it? The guy can do the exact same job, and the fact that he's poor, you're not going to hire him? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. So the guy can't do the exact same job. So, I mean, then, you're Baruch Shalom. It doesn't make any sense. Okay.
But, he's comparing it with, the alternative is to buy a button, right?
Right.
So that's, it could be, they could do the same job. It's just, I don't know, maybe there's, like, a person would prefer to own his ebit, you know.
Okay.
But he's saying, no, just get the ani, and that way you'll be supporting him.
Okay.
Presumably they're equally qualified.
Right.
But you're losing out on the fact that you don't own the ebit.
Okay. So there's a certain kind of, benefit. There's a certain kind of
like a satisfaction.
Satisfaction, like an ego satisfaction.
Yeah, it's property now. Right.
It's property, right? Like it's a certain kind of status that I have an eved. That's correct. So take a look at the Rambam. The Rambam hints to that because the Rambam says, "Yomar shitzarech shiyeh shamashecha haniyim v'adolim." Who Yosef Roy miknos ha'avadim, the kachayu chachamim meganim, kenos ha'avadim. Chachamim look down upon that. See, so that's correct. In other words, with a servant, there is a certain kind of. There's another element. It's not just a functional operation. You see, with a servant, there's an element of a certain kind of status. A certain kind of sophistication. I have a servant here. This is my butler, or this is my maidservant. There's a certain kind of sophistication and a certain kind of status, you see, where which you do not get with an ani. You don't get it. No matter, the guy could do the exact same job. It doesn't matter. The fact that the guy's an ani, it takes away from a certain glamour. Like you go to Donald Trump's house, and who answers the door? And you can answer the door the same exact way, but you could see, hey, this guy, he's not trained, he doesn't have that kind of sophistication. You see, that kind of class. So that's really that's why they isolate, have an evid, that in terms of the bias, they don't say in a job, because a job is not that. A job, you don't care. Let's say you go to a surgeon, top surgeon in the world, he comes to the office, he looks like a schlump. You don't care. Could the guy do the job? You're not looking for a classy guy. You see? So in a job, in an employment, it is strictly functional. So if you know this Evid is an unbelievable worker, you're going to hire the guy. You don't care what his financial situation is. But not true in the bias. In the bias, a person wants, it's a reflection on him. So he wants a certain kind of status, a certain kind of class. You see? So that's what they're saying. They're saying that that idea of sophistication is a very harmful thing, because it really comes from an attempt to deny who you are. A person wants to deny his base nature. He wants to say, I'm somebody important. I have certain kind of, I'm different than the average person. You see? You see, the Chazal say it's a very bad thing, because that's not the derech. If a person, to deal with your emotions, a person, the correct derech is not to try to deny the emotions. The correct derech is to accept the emotions and to have a recognition of the emotions, you see, and who you are. If a person is dissatisfied with himself, the correct approach is to recognize that what you're dissatisfied with and to accept the self. But to deny the self, that's a bad thing. Okay? So that's a person that looks for sophistication. What he's trying to do is he's trying to make himself something that he's not. Okay? So having a fancy butler and a fancy this and a fancy that does not make you anything different than you were before you had the butler. Okay? So that's what they're saying. They're saying that if you want to if you want to be in line with really who you are, get an ani to be your butler. Okay, that'll give you more of a correct, mental attitude than having a sophisticated worker. Okay, so that's really the limud. That's the limud they're trying to teach. So it's an interesting thing, I mean, because you see, in both of these cases, really, what is the idea? The idea is it's really an improvement for the person himself. It's not only in order for the benefit of the aniyim, but it's really an improvement in the person himself. You see, when a person gives tzedakah the correct way, it's an improvement in him. And when a person hires somebody to work for him or associates with an ani, it's an improvement in the person himself, because now he has a realistic attitude about the self. You see, the attitude towards the self is reflected in really two areas, in terms of my property and in terms of myself. You see, so when a person wants his house to himself, he doesn't want intruders. People that are not necessarily belong there. He doesn't want that. Why? Because the house gives him a certain kind of image about himself, a certain unrealistic view of himself. This is mine. This is where I'm my territory. You see, and you're not. You don't belong here. You see, it's an unrealistic attitude. Okay. So really, by giving chesed, by giving tzedakah, he helps the other person, but primarily, really, he is able to maintain the correct opinion about himself, and that's really what makes people a major source of unhappiness. Is because he does not want to have a realistic view of himself. You see? So this is something, these two things are, is something that if a person really follows, it will aid him tremendously. Okay? That's the thing. Okay?
What?
Yeah.
What do you mean it's a source of unhappiness?
It's unhappiness because what a lot of things a person does in life is because he's dissatisfied with it, with his own state. He's dissatisfied with himself. A person that runs after fancy things, he is running from a certain fear and dissatisfaction with the self. You see, so if he surrounds himself with fancy things, he feels like he's somebody. He feels important. You see, the importance should not come from things that you have. A person should feel important, should have a feeling of important because he has a recognition of his essence. That his essence is something of value. You see, that a person essentially, that the nature that God gave you is a valuable thing, and it's something that's significant. You see, if a person needs an outside thing to get that feeling, it means he can't face who he really is. He doesn't have a recognition of his true value. He's not looking into himself. You see, if he'd look into himself, he'd see, I don't need these things. You see, so going after these things actually makes the person less happy, more unhappy, because it takes him further away from where he should be looking. He should be looking at himself. You see, the more things he has, the further away he is from what really will allow him to feel good. You see, so it's expressed in two areas. It's expressed in material goods, things the guy acquires, you see, and it's also expressed how he treats other people. If he distances himself from other people, you see, and creates this facade of sophistication, that's another thing that turns him in the wrong direction. You see? That's why you look. I mean, if you see people that, very sophisticated people, they can act in very crude ways. You see, they can act in ways that are the exact opposite of sophistication. You see? Like the Rav used to say with the Nazis, that he always gave examples how pure intellectualism is doesn't necessarily improve the person's ethics, you see, or culture. A person could be on the highest cultural level. He says the Germans, without the Germans, he says music would not exist. Virtually the all of the music that we have today and most of the science he has today, if he took away the German society, you'd have practically none of it. So in terms of culture and intellectualism, Germans were on the highest level, you see. But that doesn't necessarily make a person, you see, that doesn't necessarily give a person perfection. Because if the culture and the intellectualism are pursued because a person wants to have a facade of respectability, you see, it doesn't give him a true type of recognition of the self. Okay? He's just distancing himself from his base emotions. That's a denial. Denial of the base emotions, pursuing music and culture to deny a person's base emotions is not perfect a person. You see? So therefore a person can be very sophisticated, and sophistication is simply where the person wants to believe he's something he's not. You see? That will not improve the person. It's not going to help the person. On the contrary, it's going to make the person more vulnerable to things that really are in his nature. He has aggressive elements in his nature. He has all of these things that the average guy has, that he's trying to be above. The average person, the lowest person, he's got the same exact nature. You see, so Chazal said, really the way to approach it is to investigate yourself and to understand your emotions and not to run away from your emotions. Okay? That's the thing. Okay?
And how does that give you happiness?
What's that?
And how does that give you happiness?
Because because the person who is running away from his emotions, he can't be happy because it's impossible to escape. It's impossible for a person to escape his nature. And if there's something in his nature that he can't tolerate, no matter how far away he runs, he's not going to escape. Because a person knows deep down the fact that I have a butler and this guy doesn't is not a real difference. You see, if a person tries to say, well, I am greater because I have sophistication and I have this, I have money, I have all of these material goods, a person tries to say that puts me on a higher level than that other person, he knows deep down it's totally false. As he knows, it's not really part of him. You see? So therefore, it's impossible that that's going to give him a good feeling. Ultimately, there's a part of him that knows the whole thing is false.
Yeah, but I guess I'm just asking the flip side. What's the positive thing that's going to give the guy by having a true recognition of yourself?
If the person has a true recognition of the self, then he is able to pursue really what in reality he desires. In other words, the true really by nature a person desires to pursue chachma, to understand things, and to enjoy knowledge. That's really an essential part of a person. I don't say every person that's going to be the whole life, but that is certainly something that gives a person tremendous satisfaction, any person, whether it's a half hour a day or 2 hours a day or 5 hours a day. Every person really could gain tremendous satisfaction from spending time every day pursuing Torah, pursuing Chachma. A person gets tremendous satisfaction from that, and there's a part of his nature that if he doesn't do that, he's going to be constantly dissatisfied. Okay, so a person that has a recognition of who he is and is not trying to be something he's not, that person is open to pursuing knowledge, and that's the satisfaction that will give him a good life. Okay, but if a person one is pursuing the path of trying to make himself greater than other people, he's going directly against looking for knowledge. He's going directly against it, because looking for knowledge means the person is, his mind is open to, in an honest way, to understanding things. You see, it's the exact opposite of what a person is doing that's trying to run after sophistication. Okay? Yeah.
You say that on top of a person being open to knowledge, like having recognition of yourself, also will allow a person to gain more satisfaction through the instincts, as opposed to someone who's like lying to themselves and what they try to gain satisfaction.
That's right.
It's not just the chachma.
That's right. That's right. A person can be relaxed. He can be relaxed with himself. See, he's not involved in trying to cover up certain, because a person that wants sophistication has to cover up certain emotions. He can't enjoy certain things, certain simple things he cannot enjoy because it's beneath him. You see?
Right. I was thinking more of like, I mean, it's the same point, but just that, like, if someone, it's a little different type of lying to yourself, but let's say someone has like a guilty feeling about like eating like
right.
certain food. So when they can never enjoy it because they have some idea of like I shouldn't be having this or whatever.
Right.
But if they recognize that they do want this, then there's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that. That's
right.
Right. That's right.
Then they'll actually enjoy it.
The person is able to enjoy those things.
Right.
That's right. Exactly.
Right.
That's correct. Okay. Okay. So let's just take a look at the last. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Why did the Rambam mention the thing about profit?
About what? Profiting.
Yeah. Relevant.
That's a good question. I mean, why did he mention the idea that the person will end up doing a mitzvah and he'll end up financially better also? That's a good question.
Maybe he's showing like a real benefit, the benefit is not being true to yourself also, but he's showing also like I guess that's more of like an abstract like benefit of perfection. He's showing you even like on the practical level, like you're going after something that's not even going to satisfy you. If you didn't have that, you'd be better
that's
off.
Right.
Not only that, you'll have more money.
Right.
Like he's showing like
he's showing you the pursuit of these things is not only not doesn't make sense emotionally, but it's unrealistic. You're not even you're really giving up financially for nothing. giving up financially for nothing. Why should you do that?
Like it exposes the emotional attachment that people have to it. They're literally
right,
throwing
right,
away
right.
money in order to have this thing.
That's right. Throwing away money in order to have this thing which is really of no value. That's true. Yeah. And as he's telling you that it's an unrealistic frame of mind. Okay? That's good, yeah. Okay? Okay, so now he says like this. The last thing he says is, Al tarba sicha ima isha. Okay, a person should not be marba sicha ima isha. Okay? So what does it mean a person should be marba sicha ima isha? I mean, what's marba sicha ima isha? I mean, talk to a woman? I mean, what's the violation? Okay, I mean, it just sounds like a, you know, taboo type of thing, like, watch out, you know, look out, right? But if you take a look at the Rambam, he says like this. He says, Yadua shehasicha im anashim ala rov hu b'inyane hamishkol. Okay, so the Rambam says it's not really the what the Pirkei Avos is telling you, the advice it's telling you, is not really whether you're talking to a man or a woman. It's the content of what you're talking about. Okay? That a person should avoid speech that surrounds the sexual. Okay? Should not excessively engage in speech that surrounds the sexual. Doesn't matter a woman or a man, really. Okay? But the speech that involves the sexual is not a good thing. Okay? Yeah.
You're talking about the content of the speech or
yeah.
the intent of the conversation?
It seems the... what do you mean?
Well, I mean, you know, I think a person is probably more likely to speak to their same gender about that than to be open with... you might have a desire to pursue that with the
right.
sex, but it might not be the content of your conversation.
Right, but the Rambam says, because rove of the speech is binyan mishkal.
What's
Mishkal? Oh, Mishkal sexual.
Okay.
Okay? So he says, it's a good question. I mean, you know, as you're saying, when a person speaks with a woman, he'd be more, he'd feel more restricted about speaking about that. I mean, a man, he'd be more open.
I feel like in general, women are more oppressed when it comes to openly speaking.
Right. So what does he mean? I mean, that's a good question.
You can actually literally say, like, with men, roll with their speech. You know?
That's right, the sexual. That's right, that's right, that's right. It's really the exact opposite. It's a good point. Well, what is roll of the speech that you have with women? What is that, then? If it's not sexual, what is it? I mean, shopping? I mean... any women here? Right? What is so? What is it? So what does he mean? What does it mean, Rove, the speech with Nashim is about the sexual? Yeah.
It means that, the backdrop of it, or the undertone of the whole speech is all about the sexual. I mean, like, whatever, body language, or the undertone of the whole speech is not necessarily that you're looking for anything sexual, in the end of the day, but I'm sure because of that, it's going to change the type of speech, like the undertone of the speech.
It's the undertone of the speech, that's right. It's the undertone of the speech. Yeah, you may be talking about, I don't know what, your college class, but it's the undertone is really the sexual. I didn't bring my wallet again. Sorry. I didn't bring any money. If you want to come to my house later, you know where I live, on Oak Drive. Okay. So the undertone. It's the undertone. That's correct. Right. That's right. See, it's the undertone of the speech, because nobody goes. Nobody walks and just. Let's talk about something sexual. I mean, even with a man, you don't say, okay, let's talk about something sexual. It's the conversation sort of ends up there, right? But it's not like a calculated thing, but that's where the conversation sort of leads, right? So what is the right? What's the idea here? I mean, what is the significance, right? Because the Pirkei Avos is saying the conversation starts there, then things lead somewhere, right? Like it says, like he says like this. He says, "Mipnei ze amar shaharbas hasicha imayim aser ki hu goring ra laatzmo." It causes harm to him. Okay, wrote to Lomar she yikne pechisos midos lanafsho v'hu rov hataiva. It increases his taiva. Okay, then eventually it leads somewhere. Okay, but he's saying through the speech, the person's taiva is increased and his involvement is increased. Okay, so what is that? What is the idea of speech? I mean, a person could look at speech like, not, you know, speech, it's nothing really. I mean, that's why do you have this Pirkei Avos? Because normally a person thinks, oh, it's just talk. What is it? I'm not really, there's no aveira here. I'm not doing anything. I'm talking about, or it's something, it's an undertone, or it leads to this, but that's not really something significant, right? But what is the idea of speech? Why is that something that the Pirkei Avos is sort of focusing on? You mean how has that become such a significant thing when it's only speech? So, I mean, if you recall, there is a famous unclus in Bereishis. Are you familiar with that unclus? What?
By the Nachash.
By the Nachash? It's really, I mean, it's pretty unbelievable. Yeah. Is that has unclus in it?
I think so, right?
Yeah. So it's this is like this. It's in Perek Beis. Yeah, it's where the pasuk says Vayitzer Hashem Elokim es Adam afar min adama vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim vayi Adam lenefesh chaya. Okay. So it means the Adam will have Nefesh Chaya. So Nefesh Chaya means the Nefesh Abahami. It means his instinctual nature. A man will have an instinctual nature. Okay? And the Tirgum Unklus translates it Vahavas Ba'adam L'ruach Mamalala. A person will have the power of speech. Okay? So it's a very it's an unbelievable thing, because by an animal, the instinctual is always action. That's how an animal carries out its instincts, through action. But he's saying that primarily a man, even though a man ultimately uses action, but primarily the outlet for the instinct is through speech. It's through talking. So it means that even though a person could ultimately could get gratification through action, But really, action is a very small part of his instinctual life. It's a very small part of his instinctual life. But the main part of his instinctual life, how he carries out, how he gets an outlet for his energies, is through speech. That's really how a person satisfies himself. Okay, and if you look, I mean, if you just take a look at a person's everyday life, most of what a person does is not too much action. A lot of it is speech. And on the contrary, if you do away with the speech, the action becomes very unsatisfying. Okay? So it's saying that really the speech in this area plays a very important role for man. And if a person engages in speech, he is really drawing himself into the emotion. Okay? He's drawing himself into the taivas just through speech. He doesn't have to do action to draw himself into the taivas. But once he involves himself in speech, that's the area where now the taivas become drawn in. Okay? So therefore, the person could be doing himself tremendous harm by engaging himself in this area. Okay? And it's a very inviting area. It's very difficult for a person to withdraw from and to withstand the temptation. That's why it's very tempting. You see, people get together, they have to talk about these things. Like, they can't just, a person gets together, what's the thing? The conversation. It becomes a conversation about these type of things. And why is that? Because that's a very tempting thing. It draws the person in, because that's really where all his satisfaction is. A person looks at it a lot of times when he gets together and has conversations, he's really doing nothing. This is not really, he's just whiling his time. You know, he's just using up the time, he's saving himself from boredom, but he's not really engaging in anything. You see? But you see from Unklus, it's the exact opposite. That's really where he's utilizing his energies to a very large extent. And when he uses his energies in this area, he's taking away from the other areas. And he's drawing himself into this kind of satisfaction that becomes a real preoccupation. That's really an outlet for the person's drives is in that area. Okay? Is in the area of entertainment. And entertainment is primarily speech. Okay? So that's an important thing. I mean, that's something that the person doesn't always recognize. Okay? Yeah.
Again, just factually, are you saying that the conversation is going toward the sexual content, or just the interaction, whatever you're talking about, with Anisha has that kind of charge?
Well, we're saying it's really conversation it's the conversation with a sexual content. It's conversation about these areas that draws a person in.
So it's not just speech itself. You talk about shopping or whatever, like you said.
Right.
That's not.
Well, all I'm saying is that the area of the greatest danger is where the conversation surrounds the sexual. You see, but you have to understand that conversation in general, there's no such thing as an idle conversation. If a person's speaking and it sounds idle, he's utilizing his energies in that area. If he's talking about shopping, then it means that he's gaining satisfaction of gaining material objects. There's some kind of drive that he's satisfying when he's engaged in conversation. You see, so even if it's about shopping, the member is not talking about shopping because that's not an area that would draw the guy in excessively. You see, but the same principle would apply, really.
Yeah, but if you're talking to a woman about shopping, is that...
See, that's what the Ram says. It's not necessarily a woman. It's not a woman. It's the content of the conversation. You know what I mean? If the content is the area of the sexual, then he's being drawn in. You see, why they chose the woman, it's a mashal to represent that type of conversation.
So in other words, this Altarva Sif and Misha really would apply, like you said.
That's right.
It could be Altarva with a man about sports. It might not have as much of a charge, but it's the same principle.
It's the same basic principle. That's right. It's the same basic principle.
But not the same danger.
What's that?
It's not the same danger.
It's not the same danger, but it's the same basic. It's the same mechanism.
Yeah.
It's the same mechanism. Okay, that sports won't necessarily draw you in, you see, but it's the same mechanism.
Okay. Right, same mechanism, you mean, because speech has a...
Speech is really where the guy... Right, that's really where the guy's energy is, in speech. Okay.
Is that why it's Altarba, as opposed to, like, don't speak to a woman?
But you see, it's not don't speak, because a person has an instinctual side to him. So you can't say don't, a person shouldn't talk about sexual things. It's an impossibility, because that's his nature. He has a part of him that has to be satisfied through that area. So speech plays a role. But it means don't engage to an excessive degree. But I mean, the only point I want to bring out is the idea of speech. Okay, that speech is the area of man's outlet. Okay.
That's funny, you wouldn't say that. So let's say, take a case in where there's not so much danger. Like, I understand that in the area of sexual, there's real harm that could happen if you allow your energies, even though you have those energies anyways,
right,
to seek satisfaction through speech. But let's say something else. Like sports, so it reveals that you have the energies going that way. Like, let's say you're very into sports and
right.
you want to talk about it, to just stop yourself and like stonewall yourself. That's not necessarily gonna help because
right.
it's not because it has that danger. Like, it makes sense to do that by the sexual maybe because.
Right.
There's an actual danger,
right.
But to like lie and say
right. Sports, right, right. Sports is not they're not giving you any advice about sports, because that's simply a personal thing. That's how a person's going to occupy his time. I mean, you know, obviously a person should be intelligent with his time, but there's no specific danger there that a person may not be aware of.
But what I'm asking is speaking even about something like that doesn't have the danger, is that going to increase the energies, or that just like reveals that that's what where that guy's energy goes? Like,
well,
I see that by the sexual, that would increase it. But
that's right, because the sexual is something
right.
that's really an unlimited
right.
draw.
Right.
Right. But the sports, not necessarily. No,
so,
I mean, sports, it depends on the person.
But you think speech could still increase, like...
Well, it's not the speech. It's just speech involves you in the area. Now, if it's an area that's going to draw the person in... Like the sexual, so then you have a danger. But if it's not an area that will draw the person in, you see, then it's not a danger. Okay? Okay. That's the story. Okay?
I noticed the Mishnah says it applies to a person's wife.
That's right.
So it's not even necessarily when there's like Isser involved.
That's right.
I guess it's not even necessarily when there's Isser involved.
That's correct.
So I guess increase the drive?
Yeah, well, I mean, what they're trying to show you is, I mean, that a person may feel with the wife, there's no Isser. You see, but what it's showing you is that the wife really, I mean, the wife cannot satisfy the drive. Notice the drive is really an unlimited drive. Now a person will feel, well, I'm going to satisfy the drive with my wife. Not really going to happen. You see, if the person is really pursuing the drive, then he will find that behind that drive is an unlimited drive. So the wife will just lead you further along the path. See, the only satisfaction that the person can have is where he's not really pursuing it. You see, then the wife, he can be satisfied. Because if the moment he pursues it, then he's going, he's drawing in more of the desire. And the desire really is limitless. There's plenty there. You see? So if he limits himself, you see, then the small desire that presents itself, he could satisfy. You see? But if he's trying to look for more entertainment, you know, and he's looking for this area as an area of satisfaction, you see, to gain satisfaction, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. Because it'll start off small, but then he'll find out very quickly that he's dissatisfied. You know, so then sometimes the guy will decide either, well, this marriage was not really a good idea. It's not really, I'm not getting out of it what I, you know, then you have all the things you read in the paper, like, well, not really, you know, this, I didn't really, this isn't really what I had in mind, you know, this is not the same person that I married, or this is not the situation that, you know, I thought I'm going to get, you know, and then he has all the justifications why this wasn't the right person, see, so I need somebody else. But it has nothing to do with that. It's not the particulars of the situation. It's he's looking for too much out of that situation. And once he's looking, then he's confronted with a lot of desire. So that's what they're saying. In other words, if a person's marbebe bedibor, he's looking already. And once he's looking, then the result is he's going to be now faced with much more desire than he was initially faced with. And that desire is not going to be so easy to satisfy. And if he does manage to satisfy it, he's in worse shape because he will be now faced with a multiple of that desire, which ultimately it will be impossible to satisfy. You know, so it starts off with speech because it seems like an innocuous type of thing. But they're showing what looks innocuous, you're really dealing with the most primary source of energy in man. So if you want to talk about sports, that's not really a primary source of energy. So you're not going to, a guy starts talking about sports, he's not going to be all of a sudden confronted with huge quantities of energy seeking satisfaction. He's going to, you know, keep talking and keep talking, and it's not going to end up anywhere, you know? But this area, he's looking into, he's opening up an area that has tremendous supplies of energy. So once he does that, even though it's an innocuous action, it seems like an innocuous action, but he'll notice all of a sudden there's a tremendous desire is beginning to surface. You know, so therefore, in that then he's going to be in trouble. Because once he's in that situation, it's very hard to withdraw. As long as the energy's small, you can withdraw. Once the energy starts to magnify, it's not so easy anymore. He's already faced with a complicated situation. So that's what they're saying. You know, you won't be able to really anticipate or imagine where this is going to lead. It won't always lead there because whatever, there's different factors that'll stop a guy. But theoretically, this is an action that could lead you very far away, because the action is engaging a certain part of you that's much bigger than you think. So don't start. If you want to stay, if you're looking for trouble, this is a good place for it. But if you want to keep your life simple, don't look in this area. Yeah.
So if it depends on the content, I guess, why does it matter if you're speaking to your wife or to, so it says kal v'chomer ish l'chavero.
Well, because, I mean, who are you going to talk to? I mean, nobody's going to start talking to somebody else's wife. I mean, obviously, a person there is a realistic and a permissible boundary. In other words, therefore, you have to stay in that boundary. Who are you going to talk to? You talk to your wife. Okay? But don't talk too much, because it won't, what will happen is it won't end with your wife. Okay? But they're saying even with your wife. In other words, what they're saying is you might think, oh, the wife, this is within reason. You see, because this is where my where I'm supposed to outlet my energies. You see, and I can't outlet my energies in this area, right? But that's what they're saying. They're saying, don't think that, even in this area, don't think that you can satisfy yourself totally. You still always have to. It always has to be to a limited extent. You have to put a harness on the involvement. You know what I mean? But certainly, if it goes beyond the wife, that is certainly an unlimited, absolutely unlimited. Now, as the wife, you might think, is limited. Well, I'm confining myself to this area of enjoyment, and now I can totally indulge, and I'm confining myself in this area. Right? He says, that won't work, because the area is really unlimited. But certainly, if a person is going to already try to get satisfaction outside of that area with somebody else, well, that is obvious that that area is, that's it. There's no boundary. He's already past the boundary. But they're saying even with the wife, there has to be a boundary in place. It can't be an unlimited involvement with the wife. Because that unlimited involvement is unlimited. And it won't stop with the wife. It will not, you know, in a particular case, it may not. A guy may stop himself. But inherent in the emotion, you're exposing yourself to an emotion which is theoretically uncontrollable. And you won't be able to control it. And you may be able to control it because of other factors and your particular situation. But inherently, intrinsically, this is an emotion that knows no bounds. So under the right conditions, you'll go right past into your neighbor's wife. Because that's really what the emotion is seeking. That's the same. The emotion is really seeking that, and it starts off with a very innocuous action of talking. You see, but they're saying talking is really a primary outlet for the emotion. So really, you're engaging it directly by talking. It's not that you're engaging a person to think, oh, I'm not engaging it directly by talking. Yeah, if I carry out an action, if I involve myself in sexual action, oh, that's a real involvement. Oh, I'm going to stay away from that. But I'll satisfy myself in speech. It's the exact opposite. The speech is really where the involvement, the action without the speech is nothing. It's not satisfying. It's nothing. For man, it's the speech that really pulls him in. You see? And the action is just, okay, the action, of course. Speech is going to lead somewhere. But it's the speech that captures his imagination. I mean, that's why you find, like it says, Hero Avera Kashame Avera. Because they hear Haravera, these thoughts and the ideas, that's really what draws a person in, the ideas. Because that's what a person's, that's how he functions, with ideas. And when you involve yourself in speech, you're tapping that part of the mind, the ideational part. That's really unlimited. That's really what gives the person the tremendous fantasy and the draw. It's the fantasy, the unbelievable fantasy that pulls the guy in. It's not the action. You see, the action, okay, that's it. Did the action, now it's over. You see? But it's not the action. You see? It's the fantasy. And then he thinks over the action. The whole thing is in the mind. That's the whole thing that grabs a guy. You see? So therefore, that's why the speech is so significant. Right? That's the limit. Watch out for the mind. It could be a dangerous tool. That's the thing. Yep.